chieftains, and England became part of the Roman Empire for 300 years. Then, in around 410 AD, the Romans left to defend their lands in Italy against barbarian invaders. Meanwhile, England had its own invaders. Waves of settlers arrived from across the North Sea. They were Angles and Saxons from northern Germany and Jutes from Denmark. We call them Anglo-Saxons for short. The newcomers settled in southern and eastern England. They gradually drove the native Britons, who were Celts, west into Wales and Cornwall, and north into Scotland. Around 500 AD, a Celtic chieftain halted the Anglo-Saxon advance for a time. He inspired the legend of King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table. But the Celtic chief was killed in battle, and the Anglo-Saxon advance continued. Soon, the Celts ruled only Wales, Cornwall, and Scotland. The Anglo-Saxons dominated the rest of Britain. The Anglo-Saxon chiefs fought one another as well as the Britons. In time, small kingdoms became part of larger ones. By 600 AD, only seven large kingdoms remained. Essex, Kent, Sussex, and East Anglia lay in southern and eastern England. The Kingdom of Wessex occupied much of the southwest, except Celtic Cornwall. The large Kingdom of Mercia lay in central England, with Celtic Wales to the west and Northumbria to the north. In 597 AD, a Christian missionary called Augustine had arrived in England and began to convert people to Christianity. Soon after, King Ethelbert of Kent became the first Christian ruler in England. Christianity gradually spread throughout the land. In the 7th century, Northumberland became the most powerful kingdom. In the 8th century, it was Mercia's turn. A Mercian king called Offa called himself King of the English. He built a towering wall of earth right along the Welsh border to keep the Celts out of his kingdom. Parts of it still survive to this day as Offa's Dyke. Following the death of Offa, Wessex became the most powerful kingdom. By 829 AD, the other six kingdoms swore loyalty to Egbert of Wessex, who became, in effect, the first English king. However, Egbert had little time to enjoy his victory. Just a few years later, all of England faced a new threat from the ferocious raiders we call the Vikings. Skilled sailors and ruthless warriors, the Vikings set sail from Denmark and Norway in search of treasure and new lands to settle. With their flat-bottomed longships, these men of the north sailed far up rivers, striking terror into the hearts of the English. The so-called Age of the Vikings had begun and continued for the next 200 years. In 865, a huge Viking army landed in England. The raiders proceeded to conquer Northumbria and East Anglia, then set their sights on Wessex. The stage was ready for an English hero, and luckily one appeared. He was Alfred of Wessex, better known as Alfred the Great. To date, Alfred is the only English ruler who has ever been called great. He was a mighty warrior, a wise lawgiver, and even a brilliant scholar. In fact, by all accounts, the only thing he wasn't great at was cooking, particularly baking cakes. But more about that later. Alfred hadn't always been great, of course. As a young man, he was shy, and he also suffered from a mysterious illness that was so embarrassing, no one would talk about it directly. Alfred was a grandson of King Egbert. He was also the younger brother of King Ethelred of Wessex, and fought beside his brother against the Vikings. The year 871 was known as the Year of Battles. Alfred fought the Danes several times, and mostly lost. He also became king when his brother died at the age of 22. For a time, Alfred made peace with the Danes, who concentrated on raiding and plundering in Mercia. But in the winter of 877, they turned on Wessex and drove Alfred from his base in what is now Wiltshire. The Saxon king was forced to flee to the island of Athelney in the middle of a swamp in Somerset. There he disguised himself and took refuge with a swineherd and his